Welcome to our paranormal afterlife. This is episode 232 of Paranormal Stories. In this episode, I'm reading from J.M. DeBoard's book, The Science of the Paranormal, the truth behind telepathy, ESP, reincarnation, and more mysterious phenomena. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. And when reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast. And here, I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I put a link to the book in the show notes, and I did seek permission to record this extract, and the author kindly said yes. So I'm going to be reading from chapter 5, which is titled ESP, Clairvoyance, and Remote Viewing. The extract I'll be reading is titled Remote Viewing. This is what JM has written. Okay, science lovers, you want hard data and studies done under controlled conditions by scientists with pedigrees. You want replication. You want science. And on top of all that, it would help to have the CIA's seal of approval, because if anyone has to deal with reality, it's them. And they are not going to say that something is real unless it's so. Unless, of course, they have a hidden agenda, which wouldn't be surprising. It is a spy agency, after all. More on that later. Here it is, a paranormal ability of the mind that's been utilised under controlled conditions since the early 1970s, and proven to enable specially trained psychic spies to see into top-secret vaults and facilities and locate missing people. Intelligence agencies, military services, and numerous private organisations use it or have used it, giving us a decades-long track record that includes spectacular successes. Some people call it clairvoyance or ESP, but the name of the protocol developed at Stanford Research Institute and duplicated by various secret military and intelligence programmes, now declassified, is remote viewing. RV. RV is a protocol for gaining information remotely using only the mind. The information could be about a person, place, object, or event. The two researchers who pioneered the protocol at the behest of the CIA, physicists Hal Puthoff and Russell Targ, initially called it anomalous cognition. These days, the popular term is psychic spying, and it's the real deal. Early experiments proved so successful they were published in top journals like Nature and IEEE. The design of the early batch of experiments involved a target person sent to a location, while the viewer remained at the lab at SRI. They described their impressions and made drawings. The Pear Lab also ran similar experiments using Princeton students. At a predetermined time, the viewer attempted to tune in to the target and describe their location. The researchers chose distinctive visual features such as churches, harbours, airports, and markets. Distance was no obstacle. According to Russell, in this game of psychic hide and seek, the viewers he worked with produced photographic quality drawings of the location a quarter of the time, and the best viewers were judged to be successful in three quarters of their attempts. The Princeton experiments, published in the IEEE, produced data with odds of a greater than a billion to one against chance expectation. Over time, the researchers learned that a sender is not necessary for remote viewing to be successful. Simply assign a random number to the target, give the number to the receiver, the remote viewer, and the end results are just as good. The data has been disputed because of the interpretive nature of comparing the viewer's impressions with the target locations. The human factor is a criticism levelled at other psi experiments, but the RV results impress the CIA, motivated by the necessity of chasing Soviet programmes already in existence, enough to switch the remote viewing programme from experimental to operational. Here's where the criticism that cast a pseudoscience shadow over remote viewing as a science started to smell stale. Disputes can always be made about this kind of data, but the operational successes tell a compelling story. Let's go over some that are declassified and decide for ourselves if it's believable. Case number one. The rough details of this operation are confirmed in a memoir written by Jimmy Carter, where he recounts being told by the CIA in 1979 that a plane carrying secret Russian documents crashed in remote Zaire, now known as Congo, and US intelligence assets were unable to locate it. Carter writes that the services of a clairvoyant were employed, and that person, using RV, wrote down the coordinates and a description of the terrain. Several days later, Carter saw photographs of the crash site matching the coordinates and the viewer's description of the terrain. The secret documents were recovered. Case number 2. A remote viewer received correct impressions about the type and number of radio dishes and the minute details of the rugged mountain terrain surrounding a radio listening station in the Ural Mountains in the former Soviet Union. Western intelligence then discovered it exactly as predicted. More of a fishing expedition than a target search, the viewer was tasked with mentally scanning the Soviet Union for an unknown radio listening post, and not only found one, but gave its exact coordinates. With China as the next target, the operation repeated successfully. Case number 3. After being given the coordinates of a suspected nuclear site in Russia, the viewer saw in his mind a gigantic crane with 8 large wheels, 2 on each of 4 legs, going back and forth on tracks, later confirmed to be a gantry crane. In a follow-up session, he saw a cluster of compressed gas cylinders, a detail confirmed by satellite photos. The viewer sent his mind into the facility and saw workers assembling a metal sphere which he estimated to be 60 feet in diameter. He sensed that the trouble the workers were having welding together the sphere like sections of an orange was because the metal was warping from the high temperature of the welding material. His estimate was later learned to be 2 feet off from the sphere's actual 58-foot diameter, and his drawings reproduced the scene with photographic accuracy. Case number 4. In 1979, US spy satellites spotted heavy construction equipment near a lake in northern Russia. The National Security Council wanted information and tasked a remote viewer. The viewer sensed a cold location near a body of water and a landscape dotted with large buildings and smokestacks. Sending his mind inside the target building, he witnessed construction activity on a submarine with a long, flat deck and an estimated 18 to 20 slanted missile tubes. Oddly, the submarine was being constructed by welding it together as 2 halves split down the middle. But wait, that's not how submarines were built at that time. Plus, not only would the size reported by the viewer make the sub the largest ever built, but the building housing it had no direct access to the sea. When confronted with the disparity, the viewer, now known through declassified documents to be retired Army officer Joe McGonagall, spontaneously saw ahead in time and told the admiral questioning him that in 4 months the Russians would blast a channel to connect the building to the sea and launch the sub. And that's exactly what happened. And it's one of the reasons why the military showered Joe with 28 awards and decorations, including the Legion of Merit, for using remote viewing in support of intelligence gathering. No way would that happen if the supporting evidence weren't true. The military doesn't hand out its top awards based on wishful thinking. As impossible as it sounds, it all happened, and it's a tiny sampling of the data. Some of the most successful operations are still classified too, but one that can be talked about without concern for leaking secrets happened when remote viewer Pat Price, a retired police officer, psychically identified the ringleader of the gang that kidnapped Patty Hearst from her Berkeley, California apartment in 1974. Here's Russell Targ's account of it. At the Berkeley police station, I stood with psychic policeman Pat Price as he put his finger on the face of a man his ESP chose as Hearst's kidnapper. He did this from a police loose-leaf mug book of hundreds of photos. He then told the police where to find the kidnap car. When the kidnapper and the car were confirmed the following day, I knew I had just seen a miracle. Today I was reading from J.M. DeBoard's book, The Science of the Paranormal, The Truth Behind Telepathy, ESP, Reincarnation, and more mysterious phenomena. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. And my book, titled Verified Near-Death Experiences, is on Amazon, and you can get it on paperback, audiobook, or Kindle. And if you enjoy this episode, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.